You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hydrocephalus is a disease with 100 New Zealand patients diagnosed every year. A recent funding injection of $6 million into the world's first implantable long-term brain pressure sensor promises relief for New Zealanders and also those across the globe. I spoke with Professor Simon Malpas, who is leading research at the Implantable Devices Group at the University of Auckland. I spoke with him to find out more about this research and what it means for New Zealanders as well as a global population. I started off by asking for an explanation of what hydrocephalus is.
Yeah, it's a condition characterized by too much fluid around the brain. And this can be from, our brains are bathed in this cerebral spinal fluid and it goes down the spinal cord. It's about, you know, it's not that much, a couple of hundred mils at the most. And we produce about half a litre a day. So the cells produce it and normally it's produced and excreted. And when there's too much produced, the pressure rises and that's where the word hydro water. And it's in the ventricles, those gaps in the brain where the brain cells aren't. And there's a gap there, there's ventricles. And then there's too much fluid accumulates and it squashes on the brain tissue and the blood vessels. And that's where we get the problems occurring.
How does a long-term brain pressure sensor help patients with hydrocephalus?
Yeah, so really the problem is that these patients, they can be children, they can be older people as well after a tumor or a trauma. So it's all ages can be affected. And what happens is a neurosurgeon will put in a tube, a shunt, that will go from the gap in the brain, the ventricle, right down to the stomach, to drain the excess fluid away. And the problem is that those shunts have the highest failure rate of almost any medical device. And that means that fails in children at an alarming rate. 50% will fail in the first couple of years. And so when that happens, those poor kiddies will have these headaches, they'll get nausea, they might get vomiting, or they might just get irritable and lose energy. So those symptoms are really hard for parents and physicians to say whether that's the shunt blocking up and beginning not to work and the too much fluid in the brain, or is that something else? So the real unmet clinical need is to help parents, physicians, monitor the pressure in the brain to know when the shunt is working. So our technology is all designed to reduce anxiety and improve the clinical outcomes for these patients.
How big is the device and where in the brain is it implanted?
Yeah, good question. So it's pretty small. So it's 2 millimeters by 3 by 20. So it's long and long, not too long, but very skinny. And it's implanted at the same location as where the tube, the shunt, is put in. So the shunt passes through the cortex, so on the top of the brain or the backside of the brain, and it passes through that, and the shunt goes into the gap, the ventricle. Our device just goes into what we call the cortex, so the first top layer of the brain tissue, and it sits just at the level of the top of the cortex.
What are the major milestones you've achieved during the last few years of research?
Yeah, so really the last, and we've been working on this project as a concept for 8 years with some of the neurosurgeons at Auckland City Hospital, initially until we could get funding. And really the funding, which has been MB, Health Research Council, and other charitable bodies, has really been around how do you make an accurate pressure measurement? How do you make that accurately? And how do you ensure that it's stable long-term? And so the milestones have really been around with some of the team that have really been, and they're experts in micro machining and making really, really small electronic components, about reducing the size and getting it really accurate. So the milestones really have been around showing that the device is safe for implantation. You know, you don't produce a whole lot of heat, that it's accurate, and it's safe to go in an MRI or a CT scan that people often have. So it's all been around safety and performance have been the major milestones more recently as we are moving towards hopefully doing our first patients early next year.
Does this technology have any implications for other fields of neurology and or diseases?
Yeah, so it certainly does, and our intent all the way along is that we would take this hydrocephalus as the first cab off the rank, first clinical indication. It's really strong unmet clinical need, but there are other clinical indications where pressure in a particular region of the body is raised. So we're talking about hydrocephalus, brain pressure being elevated, bad thing. But if you go to something like heart failure is often characterized at certain stages by a lot of breathlessness, a lot of congestion in the pulmonary side of the circulation around the lungs, and that fluid accumulates. So a lot of the time, cardiologists are trying to make sure that people aren't becoming more congested, more breathless. And when that goes wrong, they'll often end up in hospital while they try and get their drug therapy modified so that they can get rid of the extra fluid. So we also know that if we can monitor pressure in the pulmonary circulation in heart failure, we can also help those patients. So the whole idea, remember, is how can we keep people at home, away from hospital, not needing to come into hospital by this remote monitoring of pressure? That's the broad theme.
What are the next steps for the hydrocephalus microbrain implant?
Yeah, so the next steps for our program is we are rushing as fast as we can through a lot of the safety testing that we're still concluding, because, you know, this will be the first time anyone's put a discrete microcomputer directly in the brain and then pushed power into it and then pulled out the pressure values out of it so that the wireless power goes in and the pressure values come out. So that's pretty novel worldwide to do that. So we really, really, really want to be sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure it's safe. So our milestones are this year is finishing off all of the safety testing, the biocompatibility, the bench testing, MRI, all those things, and then planning for our first patients early next year as soon as we can. So that's the broad sort of trajectory. And those patients will be Auckland City Hospital who are coming through needing their shunts to be revised.
You mentioned wireless charging. So is it a type of induction device placed on top of the skin to power this implant?
Yeah, exactly. So you got it in one. So we use, the device has no battery in it, no moving part. The implant has no moving parts, no battery. And that's great for longevity. We all know our mobile phone batteries don't last as well as they used to over time. But is that the implant has a very, very tiny coil inside it. And so what we do is we create an inductive field on the outside using what we call a wand. It's basically a handheld a device that has a ring, and that creates the magnetic field. And then it will power the device for about up to 10 centimeters away. So it's no wires, no cables. And that data, it pushes power in, and then it actually receives back the pressure values. And then those pressure values go to the wand. They're displayed for the patient. And they go up to onto an app as well, so the patient can add in on their symptoms or just track their health diary as well.
That was Professor Simon Malpass of the University of Auckland's Implantable Devices Group on the recent innovations in brain implants for those suffering from hydrocephalus.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.